You'll have seen Phil Tippett's work. He's a legend in Hollywood for his animation and work as a visual artist. He's known as the father of stop-motion animation, CGI, is the man behind stop-motion characters in the Star Wars universe, the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, RoboCop. He's now making his directorial debut in the horror film Mad God. And Phil Tippett is with us. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So I'm 57, and I'm thinking to myself, when if you take 10 years off my age when I first start going to the movies, we have lived through the last, say, 40 years of the greatest advances in animation in human history. Is that fair or not?
No, not really. The recent, well, it's not recent, surging computer graphics was built on top of, as they say, giants, you know? So the people that pioneer the stuff, you know, like Winsor McCay and Willis O'Brien, they were the pioneers, you know, and they kind of shined a light on what was possible. And, then technology caught up, as it always does. And so here we are today.
So when you talk of these names, how far back do they go? So if I go back to the 70s when I started going to the movies, and I would look at animation in a very rudimentary type of fashion compared with what we see today, how far back are we going with those guys?
Willis O'Brien did King Kong, and Ladislav Starevich, who did a number of short, very elaborate stop-motion movies, in Russia, they were just right after the turn of the century, and, you know, between, you know, 1910, 1920, someplace around there.
Right. So stop motion, which you have become famous for yourself, of course, is it now an art form in its own right, given in many respects it's been superseded by technology?
Well, it was an art form in its own right at its point of conception, you know, so, yeah.
What about the level of appreciation for it, though? I mean, often an art form isn't appreciated until later years.
That doesn't, negate the fact that it's an art form. Most art, takes some years to sink in. But these were, using O'Brien as an example, it allowed cinema to create a level of spectacle. Right from the very beginning, starting with his short films like Dinosaur and The Missing Link. And then his big breakthrough was 1925, the first national picture, The Lost World. And so it totally flummoxed the audiences. They thought that, cinematographers had actually gone back to the plateaus in South America and shot dinosaurs. Where, today we look back at that material as quaint, but it was in its infancy and nobody had seen anything like it. His seminal work was King Kong, and he went on to do Mighty Joe Young.
At what point did you start and go, this is for me?
When I was 6 years old in 1955, and just set me off on a course of, it made me extremely interested in dinosaurs that I studied as a kid, and, way up until the late 80s. And then in 1958, Ray Harryhausen's The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad came on, and that kind of cinched it for me.
The advances in technology, I mean, when you worked on, for example, Jurassic Park, and you start to talk about CGI and animation, all those sort of things, is there a sadness associated with the original animation that it's all being superseded through technology, or is it just a natural evolution and it is what it is?
It's a natural evolution. Everything changes with technology. I mean, when we moved from doing single frame animation at ILM to this process that we came up with, it called Go Motion, that you have to just reconfigure your brain each time, the technology changes. And so the change over to Jurassic Park, I was over emotional about that, and thought it was the end of everything that I did, but I was messing with my own mind. And, you know, by that time I didn't, you know, need or did I want to be a computer graphics animator. But luckily by that time I'd been kicked upstairs and was, you know, supervising and directing.
Phil, what I want to know is how much, when we talk about animation, how much of what we see today on screen that's created through, you know, computers is basically about money or grunt? So in other words, if you've got the budget, you can make anything look wonderful.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, theatrical cinema, you know, and they want to pack their houses. And spectacle, you know, as, you know, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg figured out and brought back to life. You know, yeah, of course it's driven by money, as all theatrical cinema is.
But of course, but the reason I'm asking that is you look at this movie of yours, Mad God. It's a time and a place. I mean, first of all, answer me this. Why has it gone on for 30 years? How come it's taken 30 years to get together?
Well, after I did RoboCop 2, I mean, even before that, back in the RoboCop days, I started thinking about that, about Mad God. And after RoboCop 2, I shot about 3 minutes of 35 millimeter film and put the project to bed because it was too big in scope for me. And but over the next 20 years, I just didn't let it go. And I kept essentially studying, you know, paleontology, anthropology, you know, philosophy, psychology, and did a bunch of storyboards and character designs. And, you know, I just wouldn't let it go. Of course, I had to do that all in my spare time, juggling it around, you know, my day jobs. And, but, you know, it's slow cook. Everything I do cooks really slowly. And around 2010, a bunch of guys at my studio that had always wanted to do stop motion and work with real sets and real lights, offered to do a test, and then just, you know, cascaded from there.
And the Kickstarter, is that a mechanism you'd recommend if you, you know, raise money?
Not anymore.
How come?
It's too complicated. I mean, for me, I mean, for us it was. There were just too many, incentives, you know, that we had to do, and we hadn't figured it out yet because it was very early in the Kickstarter campaigns. And that necessitated us having to ship stuff all over the place. And we were naive about that. So when you sent a crate of an object to Japan, you know, that kind of puts a big dent in your, you know, the money you're going to receive. Mm. And, you know, we did well when we first started. I asked for $160,000, got $120,000, and then did another one. Then after that, another one, and it just started to peter off. And there was no, you know, no longer an incentive.
So if that's not an avenue, what's the future of these sort of movies then? You're going to have to do them yourself.
Well, the Kickstarter is only paid for, you know, maybe a third of Mad God. And the rest, of the money I got from selling off artifacts, auctioning them off from movies that I'd worked on, and some wealthy friends donated. And so, and then my studio, Tippett Studio, was very gracious and allowed me to use people. But it was mostly a volunteer army.
What do you make of it? Now, 30 years on, is it a relief or is it a masterwork or what?
Well, you know, my car does not have a rear view mirror and I do not look back, you know, and it's done. And what's done is done and it's no longer mine. It's to the audiences, whoever wants to watch it.
Well, I appreciate your time, Phil. Good to meet up with you. Good luck with this one. What's the rest of the year hold? What are you working on currently?
I am developing other ideas, kind of a much more audience-friendly sequel to Mad God.
So this one isn't that audience friendly?
No. It's quite dark and, you know, beautiful as well.
Phil, good to catch up with you. Appreciate it very much. Phil Tippett out of Hollywood this morning. Mad God is the movie, and that's available on the streaming service Shudder. Look that up. Glenn's looked Shudder up. He's become mesmerised.
I can't look away now.
He's become mesmerised.